came to understand the appeal of the Pied Piper. I believe on that Christians we have met to worship, I would have followed that playing anywhere. I know we miss singing, but if all you can do is listen, isn't it great to be able to listen to Anne and Angela and Mary Catherine? And what a blessing. What a blessing. I'd also like to observe that this is the first time in my almost 62 years that I have ever been invited into the choir loft. And I appreciate that. Our gospel reading is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, beginning at verse 13, a passage that Lee summarized very well in her children's message. But let's read it, Matthew 14, beginning at verse 13. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Now, when Jesus heard this, and this refers to the death of John the Baptist. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late, and send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish." And Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, it's almost time for schools to open. Most schools are going to try. It's been a while, hasn't it? Students, parents, it's been a while, hasn't it? As we're all aware, due to the COVID-19 pandemic, schools have been offering only online learning since, about March, I think. And I know you join me in praying and hoping that all will go well as our students and teachers and administrators and other staff members gather again. Distance creates a lot of educational challenges, but there are other challenges too, beyond educational challenges. One of the many problems that's created when schools don't meet in person in the traditional way is that some children go hungry. Many children can go hungry. Some children depend on the breakfast and lunch that they receive at school. For many of them, these are their only dependable sources of nourishment on a day-to-day basis. Thankfully, many schools continued to provide meals, even during the shutdown, and other organizations and individuals pitched in to try to fill the gap and to try to help meet the needs of students who needed meals. We're grateful for that. We should participate as we can. As you also know, the pandemic has created a lot of unemployment. Tens of millions of people remain unemployed. And all along during this crisis, food banks and free kitchens have provided meals and groceries to people so they won't go hungry. I don't know how many stories I saw on the news or online about people having to go to places that would give away food, saying, "I never expected to have to do this. I never expected to have to receive handouts of food." But it's happened to many, 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 many people. Now, when schools keep offering food even though the schools are closed, when community organizations and individuals keep providing food when people are going hungry, that's gracious nourishment. That's gracious nourishment. This is food without cost to those who will receive it and eat it. Now, food without cost doesn't do you any good if you're not willing to receive it and partake of it. Now, it's not good that these kinds of situations exist. It is not good that children go hungry. It is not good that people are unemployed. This is not good. This is bad. But it is good when people step up to do what they can to help. Now, these folks who receive these meals and the food from food banks and things, they get the basics. They don't get fancy meals or extravagant food items. They just get the basics. I've been thinking about what this pandemic has done to us. Even those of us who are still working, even those of us who still have income, even those of us whose rent was not due yesterday and we had no money to pay it. Even those of us who have not missed a meal yet. This pandemic may have still left us feeling hungry and thirsty. It may have left us feeling empty. It may have left us feeling spiritually and emotionally and socially malnourished. That was the situation of the audience that the prophet addresses in the words I read from Isaiah 55. The people he was talking to were in exile in Babylon. They or their ancestors had been torn from many of the things that gave meaning to their lives. Up until 587 BC, the people of Judah found much of their meaning in what they believed to be the inviolability of Jerusalem, that Jerusalem could never fall. They had put much of their hope and trust in the temple, in the Ark of the Covenant, in the sacrificial system, in all of those things that depended, that on which their worship system depended. They put much of their trust in the land that they believed God had promised to them and that they had occupied hundreds of years before. And now they've been torn away from all these things that they looked to give meaning to their lives. They were separated from their land, separated from their traditions. They wondered if they were separated from their God. I mean, they had spent decades now living in the land of the people who conquered them, wondering if the gods of the Babylonians were more powerful than their God. All of this had left them drained, left them hungry, left them thirsty. They wondered if they would ever go home. They questioned their place in God purposes. They wondered if they could ever be of any use to anybody. They wondered if things would ever be the same again. guess what? The prophet came to them to promise them that things would get better. The prophet did not promise them that things would be the same. How has our situation, quarantine, social distancing, mask wearing, been like being in the exile? How has it left us drained? How has it taxed our spiritual resources? I wouldn't think that many of us have been left wondering if God still cares about us. That was something that was going through the minds and hearts of the exiles. Maybe this has happened to us because God just doesn't care anymore. Maybe he just has written us off and just doesn't give us any thought anymore and has no compassion for us anymore. I doubt many of us think that way. Most of us have grown in our faith to the point that our circumstances don't cause us to question God's presence with us and concern for us. Most of us, thankfully, have grown in our faith to where we don't draw those straight kinds of lines. If I'm sick, if I'm lonely, if I'm hurt, if I'm wounded, if I'm deprived, most of us don't immediately jump to think that God just doesn't care about me anymore. Now, that doesn't mean it never crosses our minds. It's just not what we focus on. But that's what the exiles were thinking. The exiles were also wondering what they had done to deserve what had happened to them. Now, the witness of the Old Testament is that they did deserve what had happened to them. But most of us have grown in our faith to the point that we don't see hard times as necessarily being connected with God's judgment. We remember that, you know, when Jesus' disciples asked about a man who had been born blind, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither. And he said a lot more than that, but that's not the point of today's sermon. Neither. We remember that. So we don't draw straight lines from what we've done wrong to the terrible things that happen in our lives. Now, again, parenthetically, this doesn't mean that we don't sometimes bring things on ourselves. We do, indeed. But being in our situation has been like the exile situation in this way. It sure has felt like we're living in a strange land. Doesn't it feel like we're living in a strange land? Things are just so strange. Things are just so weird. Did any of y'all watch, and you should have if you didn't, although it wouldn't have been to some of your taste, but I'll say it anyway. Did any of you watch Stranger Things, the TV series Stranger Things? If you like science fiction, creepy, weird stuff, it's pretty good. But there's a thing in Stranger Things where there's like this other world that they call the Upside Down. And I don't know how many times I've thought over the last few months, that's where we are. We're in the Upside Down. Everything's been flipped around. And it feels like we're cut off from so much of what used to constitute our lives. But the exiles, we're finally seeing glimmers of hope and hearing words of hope. This prophet came and said the exile is nearing its end. They also had read in the newspaper and seen on the internet that there was a Persian leader named Cyrus who was conquering everything in sight and who had set his sights on Babylon. And according to the editorialists, according to the experts, Cyrus had a much more enlightened policy, and so chances were pretty good that when Cyrus took over Babylon, he might just let the exiles go home. They knew all of this. They knew things were about to get better. They may not have known that things still weren't going to be all that good for a while, but progress was just around the bend. Listen. Our situation is going to improve, too. Is it ever going to go back to like it was? I'm not that kind of prophet. I can't see the future. I'll just say with all the authority I can muster, I don't think so. I don't think things are ever going to go back to just like they were. You can't go through a crisis like this and have things be like they used to be. That's just not the way crises work. But in the meantime, I want you to hear again these words that the prophet shared with the people, that more precisely, that the Lord shared with these exiles through the prophet. Listen again. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. God was ready to give them food and drink and to give it freely. But God's offer went beyond the basic necessities of bread and water. You had to have bread and water to live. You had to have food and water to live. But God's promise went beyond that. God will give you, the prophet says, wine and milk, the best things, and you won't even have to pay for them. God's going to give you the best things, and they'll be free. This is an image of God's grace. Now, how would they get this free, wonderful food and drink? Listen to what God says to them. God said, "Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live." How would they find this gracious nourishment? How would they find these wonderful free things from God? By listening. By listening to what God said, by believing in God's good news, by living in light of what God was saying, by living in light of what God was doing. Think of listening to the Word of God, listening to the good news of Jesus, listening to the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Think of that as taking in rich food and rich drink. Why do we take in food and drink? We take in food and drink to convert it into physical energy. Why do we take in God's good news? We take in God's good news that we know comes most fully through Jesus Christ to convert it into spiritual energy. To lift ourselves back up. To keep going forward. The prophet told the exiles, "Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live." Then he said, "I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David." I love talking about the covenant with David because it's so complicated and so simple all at the same time. Through the prophet Nathan, God told David that God was going to give David an everlasting kingdom. Your family will always be on the throne in Judah. Always, forever, which turned out to be about 400 years. Because when Jerusalem was destroyed in 587, David's monarchy was destroyed. And now here is this prophet telling the exiles, years after David's monarchy has been destroyed, remember the eternal covenant God made with David? Well, that covenant is now your covenant. God is going to bless you in the ways that God blessed David. And as it turned out, David's kingdom never was established. But hey, guess what? About 500, 600 years after this, a baby was born in a little town called Bethlehem who was a descendant of David and who was the king that God sent into the world and through whom real life is found. Going forward, though, the covenant with David was going to look different. Going forward, the covenant with David would be interpreted in messianic terms. Going forward, the promises to David would be fulfilled through Jesus, the Messiah, through whom we find eternal life. life. What the prophet was saying to the exiles was, remember what God has done. Remember what God did and said back then to David. But here today, listen to what God is doing now. And we need to remember what God has done and celebrate what God has done in the past. But we also need to look for what God is doing now and what God will do in the future. And just like Jesus was not the kind of Messiah that most people were looking for, we can count on this. God is going to do things in the future that we don't expect. God is going to lead us in ways that will surprise us. But God will lead us forward. Listen to me. God will lead us forward. We can count on it. We just need to learn to be alert to what God is doing and how God is leading. And then there's this basic Christian principle that I always find myself coming back to. We don't really understand the good news until we understand the good news is not just for us. It's not something that we just take in and hold on to and keep. The good news is for other people. The prophet told the exiles that what God was doing for them would benefit other people from other places. In other words, they were to take these great blessings they were about to receive from God and they were to pass them along to others. Listen, God is going to help us. God is going to bless us. God is going to deliver us in wonderful ways. I do not know what the future is going to look like, but I do know this. I know that God's people are going to have all the grace, mercy, and love from God that we need. And then some. We'll have all we need, and then some. When Jesus fed the 5,000 men plus the women and children, so let's just figure it was maybe 10,000. When God fed the 10,000, when Jesus fed the 10,000, after he and the disciples shared the bread and with all those people, there was what? 12 baskets full left over. I'd give a dollar to know what they did with the leftovers. All those people, thousands of people, sharing in the blessings of the kingdom, sharing in this gracious nourishment that Jesus offered, that was about much more than bread and fish. It was about the fact that in Jesus the kingdom was present. The grace and the love and the mercy of God had come in the flesh in Jesus. And Jesus was showing us what it means to be kingdom people, what it means to be the church, what it means to be followers of Jesus. We will have all the grace, love, and mercy from God that we need. We will have 12 baskets full left over. What are we going to do with it? I would love to think that the disciples took those 12 baskets and went out and found some other hungry people and fed them. Knowing them, they just sat around scratching their heads. Let's don't sit around scratching our heads. Let's praise God for what God is going to do with us, but let's also bear witness with our lives, with our love, with our grace, with our mercy to all those around us, so that they'll see what it means to trust in God. That they'll see in us what it means to serve God. By definition, when we receive gracious nourishment from God, we are to pass it on. Share it with others. That's the basic Christian principle that I was talking about. You can never stop with just having your needs met. until everyone's needs are met, until every hungry person is fed, until every thirsty person has clean water, until everyone has experienced the grace, love, and mercy of God, we're not finished with God's blessings. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, for all your blessings. We thank you for the grace, mercy, and love that you pour into our lives. We thank you for meeting our most basic needs. We ask you to use us to help others. May your grace, mercy, love, blessings flow through us and out to others. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.